today on faith. I think faith's a tremendously important principle in the Bible. Have a look with me in Hebrews chapter 11.
Come on, Ben.
It's the faith passage, isn't it?
Yes.
Hebrews is a book with faith as one of the main themes. And we're going to be flicking today through between Hebrews, and we're going to look at Genesis at the father of faith, Abraham. And I think it'll be very exciting and hopefully instructive and encouraging for all of us. But let's pray before we start.
Amen.
Lord God, I thank you for faith. I thank you that it's something that we can have, Father, because it's so important to our relationship with you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. I just pray for today. Please give me the words to say, Lord God. Take me out of the way. Lord God, we don't want to listen to me. We want to listen to you, God. And I just pray that you just help all of us, God, to just learn what you want us to learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Right, we're going to start in Hebrews 11, verse 6. And this kind of emphasizes how important faith is for us as Christians. It says in verse 6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So if we're going to please God, which is a big part of being a Christian, we can't do that if we don't have faith. So I thought we'd look at Abraham, known as the father of faith. It's probably a pretty good place to start, isn't it? So have a look in Genesis chapter 17. And we're going to be looking from there today. A bit of context on Abraham. In chapter 12, he's been called by God to leave his town, to leave what he knows well, and he's been called to go to a land which he has no idea about. He's been called away from what he knows to a land which he does not know. And being a man of faith that he is, he says, "Yes, I will go." He trusts God. But it's not all sort of plain sailing. There's some ups and downs. He gets into trouble for lying to, to one of the kings, King Abimelech, I think. He says his wife is his sister. He deceives him. So certainly it's not all easy for Abraham. He doesn't find life easy all the time, even though he's the father of faith. And the title for my lesson is The Faith of a Patriarch, because Abraham was one of the patriarchs, probably the most famous patriarch of them all. So we're going to look here in chapter 17. And Abraham, one thing you'll know, you may know about Abraham is he really, really wanted a son. And he was getting old at this stage in his life, and he still didn't have a son. And we're going to read on and see what God has in store for him. So it says, chapter 17, verse 1, "When Abram, as he was called then, was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers.' Abraham fell face down, and the Lord said to him, 'As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God.' Then God said to Abraham, 'As for you, you must keep my commandment, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household, or born with money from a foreigner. Those who are not your offspring, whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant is in your flesh, is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in his flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my commandment.' God also said to Abraham, 'As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to me, a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I'll make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year." When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael, and all those born in his household were bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them, as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that very day. And every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. So, my first point today is the faith to act. So, we have this man Abraham, he's 99, maybe I'll live to 99, who knows, I get letters from the Queen at 100, but he's 99 years old, and God says to him, "You Abraham, if he's got no children, no proper children at this time," he says, "your descendants are going to be a great nation. They're going to be blessed by me in incredible ways." And one thing I find really interesting about this passage, we think of Abraham as this amazing man of faith. We think of him saying, surely, he's the patriarch. He's the man of great faith. Surely, when God tells him something, he'll accept it. And he'll say, "Yeah, I believe you, God." But we look at Abraham's response. We look at it in verse 17. And he says, Abraham fell face down and he laughed to himself. To me, that when I read that, that strikes something with me. Because it's like, how can this man be a man of great faith, but then say, "God, this can't happen"? You know, his reaction to hearing this, you know, absolutely, this is ridiculous. The idea of, you know, a man of 99 years old having a baby, you know, being able to have a son, that is ridiculous. And, if he's a man of faith, we would surely think, yeah, like, you're meant to say yes, not ha-ha. You're meant to agree, not sort of say, "What do you want about God?" But that tells us something about faith, doesn't it? Because it's not, shows that faith isn't about how things feel when we take into account what God says he's going to do in our lives. It's not we feel like, "Oh yeah, God says he's going to do this, and I can see it's going to work out like this, and then it's going to come through like that. And it all makes sense," right? It's not like that. No. For Abraham, it didn't make sense. And it made so little sense that he felt it was laughable how little sense it made. Yeah. So that makes us wonder then, if faith isn't necessarily feeling confident or feeling like you have all the answers, well, what is faith? Let's look back in Hebrews chapter 11. This passage has become very, encouraging to me as a Christian. In my life, I went to a school when I was from the age of 11 to 18, which was a great school. James is at that school. Come on, and that's a great school. I went and visited it today with Jerome, and it was a great school. But one thing, when I went to that school, I became very focused on academics and things like that, and understanding things. And if you're an academic, it can be hard to be a person of faith as well, because academics are all about understanding, and sometimes with faith and believing in God, sometimes things like that and your understanding won't always add up. And this verse for me provides a lot of encouragement to me. It's Hebrews 11 verse 1. It says, "Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." The idea of faith being sure of what we don't see is very encouraging to me. When I was at school, I went through a time in my life where I really struggled to be confident that the God of the Bible was real. I was a Christian at this stage, but I was finding it really hard to accept that the Bible was true. I had a lot of, what should we say, a lot of people who didn't want me to, didn't like my belief in God at school, saying, oh, no, there's no God. The Bible's not true. And it was hard for me not to listen to what was being said. And as time went on, I read some books, I gained some understanding, which was good. It was important for me to read books, understand how, you know, there are good reasons to believe that God exists. But I had to come to an understanding that, at the end of the day, I'm never going to get all my questions answered about God. Yeah. I'm never going to get 20/20 vision of Jesus. I'm never going to get 20/20 vision of God. I'm never going to get 20/20 vision of the Bible. And that was a big thing for me. But we see, in Abraham's situation, that was what he needed. He didn't have 20/20 vision of God. He was sure, though. He was sure. And why do we know he was sure? Let's look back in Genesis 17. So if this man is a man of faith, he must have been sure of what he hoped for and certain of what he could not see. He couldn't see he was going to have children, but he was certain. Let me show you how he was certain. God's told him, if you're going to believe me, if you're going to walk, what does it say in verse 1? Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. That's the key. That's what God said. In verse 23, God's asked him, circumcise everyone in your family. And in verse 23, Abraham goes to circumcise all his family. Now, us men will agree that's not an easy job. That's not something that we'd happily all go and do, you know, at 99 years old or whatever. But it shows Abraham's faith, doesn't it? His faith wasn't showed by how he felt. It wasn't showed by the fact that God told him something. He was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Abraham, when he heard what God was going to call him to do, he laughed. It didn't make sense to him. But what did his actions show? His actions showed that he trusted God. Because he was willing to go and do what God had called him to do, even though so much of it didn't make sense that he was doing. And that's a big thing for us as Christians. It's easy to say, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. You know, I go to church on a Sunday. But really, we look at the Bible here, we look at Abraham, we look at the real meaning of faith. And the real meaning of faith isn't just to say you believe, isn't even to feel like you believe.
Yeah.
It's do you live like you believe? I think it's a very challenging thing for us, and I think for the whole of the Christian community as a whole. It's easy to have a faith where you sort of go through the motions, and you go to church, and you know, you read your Bible each day. But when push comes to shove, and you need to trust God in a way where your life is going to be changed, the way you live is going to be changed, that's when God really shows us what the meaning of faith really is. I don't know what it is for you today. Maybe you've been coming to church for a while. Maybe you've been thinking about, I want to have faith. I want to have faith in God. And you've been feeling like, there's just things that don't quite make sense. I felt like that before. I want to encourage you. There's great reasons out there for believing God. There's great books about, you know, the reasons for God and things like that. And there are great reasons for God. But if you still feel like, I just can't prove it all, I want to encourage you. Make a leap of faith like Abraham. You know, maybe you don't feel like it all makes sense. Maybe you don't feel like, I don't feel like I can connect with God easily. Okay. Abraham didn't feel like that either. Let me encourage you. Myself as well, I feel like this at times, quite a lot. Let's be people who live our faith out rather than just say we believe and that's it. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe, you know, you've been a Christian for a while. And the thing and the thing to focus on is making sure that your life matches what you say you believe.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy, like Josh was sharing, to get dragged along by the ways of the world. What about at work? You know, at work, I always find for me there's a temptation to be deceitful, to try and make things go your way. You know, I remember I've been asked to lie before in my kind of like, I work as a dentist, and I remember when I was at university and I was doing work on somebody, I was asked to lie about the situation. And I had to decide, I remember being in that moment and thinking, right, this is the moment I have to decide, am I going to be a Christian or not? I had to choose, am I going to be someone who tells the truth Or am I going to be someone who makes things up? Am I going to be someone who walks blamelessly, back here in verse 1, walks before me faithfully and be blameless? Am I going to be that person? Or am I going to be someone who just says, yeah, I'm a Christian, but doesn't live that out? What would that mean for you? Maybe it means looking around your neighbourhood, thinking, who of my neighbours, who of the people who I meet every day, which of these people do I think could do with an invitation to church? Maybe you haven't helped someone become a Christian for a long time. Maybe you've never helped someone become a Christian. It's okay. Maybe you don't see the way to help these people. Do you believe that God can do it? If you do, if we do, me, myself included, let's make a choice to bring the gospel to people and give people the opportunity that they need. Let's be bold about our faith, and let's let our faith be reflected through our attitude towards people, our hearts for people, and our desire to see more and more people become Christians here in Reading.
Amen.
I know Mum and Dad did a class on Friday about faith. Amen. And maybe this is something to think about. Maybe if this is something that you find hard, the idea of believing that God can use you to help someone, this may be a passage that helps you to think, you know what, if Abraham couldn't see he was going to have a son, maybe I can, but he still had a son, and I don't see how I can help anybody become a Christian, maybe I can help someone become a Christian, because I see God can do something great in Abraham's life, and maybe he can do something great in my life for someone else as well. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Does that make some sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move forward. Let's have a look at another very important moment in Abraham's life. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 22. And my second point is the faith to lose and the faith to gain. That's my second point. Let's read in Genesis 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son. So he's had his son, by the way, at this time. Sorry, I didn't tell the story very well. Isaac's been born. So, God said to Abraham, you're going to have a son. Abraham does all the circumcision stuff. And then Isaac gets born. That's an important part of this story, because you're going to see Isaac turn out. And you're like, who's Isaac? So, there you go. Then God said, verse 2, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you. Early in the morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut down enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father! Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now that I know that you fear God, because you have withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mount of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me. And Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. So, God's blessed Abraham with a son. And Of all the things God could ask of Abraham now, you know, give me your best sheep, you know, sacrifice your tent to me. I don't know, I'm sure Abraham probably would have done that as well. You know, of all the things God calls him to do, he says, that son I gave you, Isaac, remember I gave him to you. I want you to give him back to me and sacrifice him. What a challenging calling from God. What a challenging, I suppose, you know, just there must be so much emotion for Abraham at that time. You know, he's had his dream answered of his son be born to him. The impossible son, the son that should not have happened. The 99-year-old, the son wasn't 99, but Abraham was 99 when he had his son. He's had that son. And now God's saying, it's time, Abraham. Let's see where your faith really is. You've proved it to me before. Can you prove it again? And that's what faith is as well, isn't it? Faith is trusting that God has the best plan for us, even when it really seems like he doesn't. You know, Abraham had that faith to lose something in his life, and he was willing to lose it for something so much greater. What about for us in our lives? Is there anything in our lives that we need to lose for God? Is God telling you in any part of your life, I need you to cut this part of your life out? Is there anything that you look back in your life at and you think, this really isn't right? And God's saying to you, this needs to change. I remember for me, when I repented and I... you know, I got baptized and I got my place in heaven. I had to decide to make changes in my life. I had to decide that if I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to need to live in a way which God is pleased with and not which I'm pleased with. And that meant deciding to stop living the ways that I wanted to live and stop doing things that he said weren't right and decide to commit to the ways that he said were right, full stop. Some of you may know this about me, some of you may not. Naturally, I can be quite a lazy person. So, Rudy, I've fooled him for all these years. I shouldn't have said that. I got baptized when I was 14. And it was year 10. Year 10's the year where things start to matter. Year 9 and year 8 were just DOSes. Come on, James, which year are you? Year 9, come on, enjoy this year, this is a great year. Year 10, it got serious, right? I started to get work. And with my work, I didn't like school work at all. I didn't like homework. I liked video games and TV, things like that. And I like to get my work done as quickly as possible. You know, get it done out of the way, half try, you know, just scribble, done. You know, get it done, and then that's the end of it. I realised that if I was going to be a Christian, and if the Bible, as the Bible says in Colossians, it talks about doing everything as if working for God and not for humans, if I was going to do that, I need to give my best to my work and not just do it half-heartedly. So that meant sitting down and saying, right, I'm going to do this first before I can play, you know, Need for Speed, my favourite video game or something or whatever. I'm going to put my work first. I'm going to do my English homework first. I don't like English, my least favourite subject. That's going to go first because I need to do my best at it. If I'm going to need to do that first, I'm going to need to give 100% of my mind to it. And then I'm going to have to wait and trust that God will bless me in the future after I put him first and do my best in my work. I had to choose to do that. And mum was a great help to me through that. It's great, we have a great mum. Come on, the mums. Come on, the mums. Great helps. But you know, it's great. God gives us angels to keep us going. And I needed that. But you know, I had to choose: am I going to be Ben Dannett, or am I going to be the Jesus version of Ben Dannett? Am I going to be the Ben Dannett who follows Ben's way, or am I going to be the Ben Dannett who follows the Bible and God's way? You know, but that was a decision that I really, really had to make myself, and it meant for me sitting down, you know, not doing what I wanted to do, and it meant working and working and working. And I had to do that for a few years before I could even, you know, start to contemplate being disciplined enough to do things in a different order. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I feel like God's really blessed me now. He gave me great results at GCSEs and A-levels and passed my degree, which is incredible. And God's really blessed, I think, that choice to put Him first and do my work for Him. And now, you know, I have more discipline than I had when I was 14. Mm-hmm. You know, I can now do work, and I can stop halfway through, and I know I can go back to it because I'm more disciplined. And God's blessed me with that. And the same way with Abraham, God said, I want you to lose not only your video games. Oh my gosh, that's terrible. I want you to lose your son. You know? All for the sake of gaining the world. More than that. What does it say in verse 18? Is it verse 17? I will surely bless you. So he's given up his son. God said, no, stop, Abraham. Because I know you trust me. And he says, because you trust me, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Abraham was willing to give up his one son. And because of that, he said he was going to have, God said he was going to have descendants as numerous as stars in the sky. He had faith to lose what he had, because he also had faith that he would gain so, so, so much more. It's like when Jesus talks about in the New Testament, he says, anyone who has given up father or mother or family for me will be paid back 30, 60 or 100 times in heaven. You know, in this age, actually, in this age on earth and in the age to come. Yeah. You know, what an incredible promise. That's the same thing Jesus says. You know, if you want to be sold how great it is to be a Christian, that's it right there. You know, God is willing to give you the ultimate life. That's what He wants you to have. He wants you to have the life that you've always wanted, the dream life. That's what He wants you to have, the ultimate life. Yeah. But if we're going to do that, we've got to be ready to lose what's ours at the moment, in order to gain what God wants to give us in the future. And I suppose for us as Christians, and this is a good place to end, that really, what we're looking to gain more than anything is eternal life, isn't it? That place in heaven where there's no mourning, there's no crying, there's no confusion. I'll finally understand why God is there and I'll be able to prove it perfectly in heaven. It will all make sense to me. And that's what we're working towards, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's what Jesus died for us for. You know, Jesus died for us so that we could have a place in heaven. We could be as close to our real Father, our closest Father, the Lord in heaven. That's what Jesus wants for us. The ultimate relationship. I don't know what your greatest friend is or your greatest companion in your life is, but God, He's an incredible friend. Mm-hmm. Even greater than my mum. There you go. Even better than my mum was a friend. It's saying a lot, you know. So, there you go. My dad says, yeah, not bad. Dad's great too. So, what does it mean for you to have faith today? Are there some things that you're going to have to choose to believe, even though they don't make sense? I encourage you, read books. I'm not saying don't believe in, you know, apologetics and, you know, books by, you know, C.S. Lewis and things like that, they're great. Read them. But are you going to have to make a decision to believe even though you can't see? That's what I had to do. It's one thing to consider. And two, what is it going to mean for you to live it out? What is it going to mean for you to lose? Is there family members who won't approve of you being a Christian? Is there friends who won't like the fact that you no longer do what they do? Are there things in your own life that you like doing that you'll have to stop? But let's remember through all of this, our rewards are countless times greater. What we'll gain is 100 times greater than what we lose if we have faith. Because that's who God is. God isn't out to shortchange us. God doesn't want us to give up big and then get a little bit back. He wants us to give up a little bit and get back 100 times more. And that's what Abraham did. And that's probably one of the reasons why he was the father of faith. Because he could trust God, that God had a great plan for his life, even though it seemed that he didn't. Because he knew that God was in control and God loved him so, so much. It's been great to preach. Thank you. And I hope it's been helpful and encouraging. And it'd be awesome to see the gospel grow in the UK. It's something to I pray for every day. And I hope that's been encouraging. Amen.